All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Toolbox Tuesday. We are back again. For those of you who have not been with us for Toolbox Tuesday before, every Tuesday in our practices, we pick a tool out of our resource kit of our many resources that we have available. We do this to make sure that our team is all on the same page and is familiar with all of the resources that we have at our disposal. It is easy to forget all the resources that we have at our disposal. That is what Tuesdays are for. And we are mixing in some of these Toolbox Tuesdays with the things that no one wants to talk about, with some of the hot take topics that are out and about in the industry right now. So that's going to be our topic for this week. We're talking about electronic communications.
I would argue that a lot of these are not out in the industry and in the ether right
No,
now.
that there is
A
that
lot of
too. Yeah.
people do not want to talk about them, and that's why we're talking about them, because we talk about these things, unfortunately, every day. They are not fun. They are very painful, but they are what moves the needle forward. And the more feedback we can get, the more times we can have these hard conversations, the faster we can improve.
Yeah, so if you've been with us over the last couple of weeks or you've seen some of our clips, we've been talking about patient communications. We've been talking about reviews, patient complaints, some of the things that patients see as a pain point to their entire patient experience. When we're talking about patient experience in our practices, we talk about that starting from before the patient even walks in the offices, right? It's from their interactions with our team, scheduling the appointment, what the ease of that was like, confirmation process. They have an entire opinion about your practice before they even walk in and meet one of your doctors.
Right. And I think this also solves a lot of the learning, getting to know you period a little bit. It really accelerates it a ton, because a lot of even coming to a new office, or even an old patient that's been there for a long time, they learn sometimes your protocols the hard way. And not to say that all of our existing patients read this when we pump it out. Most people don't, and we're very aware of that. But if we can refer to something that we have posted, or refer to something that we have online about our protocols or about our policies, it's a lot easier when they're published like this. It's very clear. It's very transparent.
Yeah, and this specifically, we really went deep into this in a couple of Toolbox Tuesdays ago when we were talking about what to expect in our practices and communication. And electronic communications is a big part of it. And because
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but in our practices, especially over the last couple of years, we simply could not keep up with the volume of phone calls that we were receiving from patients. And I mean, to the tune of, thousands a week. And on the one hand, it's a great problem to have, but you could staff an entire office, which we've also looked at as an option, with 30 people, and you still would not be able to cover all of those phone calls at the peak times that people were calling, right? You don't have all of those calls that are being concentrated at 7 in the morning, but that 9 to 12 window gets real busy real quick. Or, our team always jokes about, the final 10 minutes of the day that the entire county knows that's the time that they all want to call in, and they're trying to answer all of the phone calls right at the end of the day. So, like it or not, we have had to look at electronic communications. Whether that's email, whether that's text, whether that's AI, because that is just the way that the world is going right now. And just because it's an electronic communication does not mean that it has to be an impersonal communication.
Yeah, it's something that we really find a value in, and Jennifer's gonna kind of get into this a lot, but because, like she said, most of the phone calls come in a very short period of time, right? There's just it's impossible to humanly answer all those calls. There's just no way. But we're really not answering a lot of those calls on those outside hours, and so that's the time when we're getting we can have our leverage our front office to really communicate more with our patients from an email standpoint, from a text standpoint too. And we're really leaning into those things during those times, because we're not answering phones right then, and we can get in the cadence. But the way our patients, most of our patients, I would say at this point, the vast majority of our patients prefer an email or a text. Would you kind of are you that, Jennifer, right now?
Yeah, I mean, really, there's going to be somebody that's unhappy no matter what you do,
Right.
right? We call, we text, and we email our patients, and they still tell us that we don't communicate with them enough. There are going to be those people, right? And then there's people who are like, will you stop? I got it. But I made, we have people who literally tell us this, I made the appointment. I don't need you to remind me. I have a calendar. I'm like, can I just post that on a board? Can there be more of you? But I'm
Yes.
sorry, not everyone is as responsible, has that. But no, I mean, people are busy. And again, there's always going to be the Karens of the world. Most patients don't expect that if they call you at 9 o'clock at night, that you're going to be there to answer the phone. However, that may be the only time in their day when they're done working and the kids are in bed that they can handle their own personal affairs. So if they don't have email or text or a web option or online scheduling, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And those are the things that we're trying to solve for.
Yeah, it is so frustrating for anyone to call a business, especially a healthcare provider, doctor, whatever it is, and not get someone on the phone time and time again, right? Or not have an option to another way to communicate with them. So I think a lot of patients, when we first started the email push, and we'll get into exactly kind of how we structured that and how we impress people with it, in order to make it work. Because if we weren't going to impress with people with the way we could communicate digitally or through email or text, it wasn't going to work. But when people don't clearly know that there's another way for them to communicate, they get frustrated. They think that's the only way is I have to call, get someone on the phone. It has to be between 8 and 5, whatever it is. It's 2024, guys.
Right.
I think that's absolutely ridiculous, right? I mean, to really, we're not a bar or a restaurant when you're asking for, it's like there should be a way that you communicate with your dentist or doctor at midnight if you wanted to.
Right.
Fact that that's not commonplace in every, because I think is a little bit frustrating because it's so easy. Now, it's not easy to maintain. It takes work to show patients that you're going to respond, and then you need to develop protocols around that to make sure that's very consistent and predictable. But you should definitely have a system. And that was a big change for us that people are getting these emails back very quickly. They're getting these texts back immediately, we even have responders just to say, hey, we got your text. We'll respond when our door's open. We're not expecting our front office to answer at midnight. That's not what I'm talking about. But they should have the ability to reach out when, the inspiration strikes, right? Just shoot an email, shoot us a text, whatever it is, we will get it in the morning.
Right.
And we'll respond. Right.
Well, and that's part of what we're fighting the battle against, right? Because we've talked about this before in dentistry, it's still very polarized from a patient perception of what practices look like. They think that either you have the single doctor, very closely held, I can call Sally at the front office and she'll answer my call because she knows me and all of the things, or you're in a mega corporate world where you're reaching out to Amazon. I'm going to send an email to Amazon. Okay, we'll see if that ever is responded to. And that's not what we are in either of those situations. If someone is emailing us, it's going to our practices. Our team members are responding to that. If they text us, it's going to our practices and our team members are responding to that. It's not just being lost in abeyance, like the check is in the mail and no one ever responds back to you. But patients have to see that, and you have to build a little bit of trust in that. And now we have, we were talking about reviews a couple of weeks ago. We have reviews where people have actually posted, they email me back same day. They text me within an hour, and people are actually seeing that we follow through on what we say we're going to do.
And we tell people we're going to do it. And I think there's two parts about that too. This what to expect with communications with our office. And we have what to expect sheets for a lot of different things we do in our office because we want patients to know. There's two parts of this. We want patients to know what our protocols are, know what to expect. It's what it's called. And not get upset when something happens that they didn't know was going to happen. So I think there's so many, I think that any kind of frustration, any kind of, emotional reaction to something is generally because of an unmet expectation that was assumed was going to happen, right? That goes for anything in life, whether you're talking about, family or friends or, things in the workplace like this. Whenever there's an unmet assumed expectation that's not met, it's an emotional reaction to it, right? Because it's something that didn't happen the way I thought. But when it's communicated that this is the way it's going to happen, even if it's not exactly the way you wanted it to happen, you know what to expect, right? And so it immediately diffuses the situation or doesn't let the situation go out of proportion. The second part about this, which I think is arguably the most important part about these whole what to expect sheets, is it holds our team accountable.
Yes.
And our team knows this sheet, every single patient has access to it. Every other team member that's sitting
in the world
office in the world has access to this. It is in black and white ink, or in this case, blue and white. And if I didn't call that patient back or email that patient back, within the day or within 6 hours or whatever it says on there, they got something to say.
That's on me.
They're going to be right. That's on me. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And we don't rely on one person. We have a whole list, and we work as a kind of a decentralized centralized office where we have different front offices and different offices working on the same patients all the time. So we have a little bit of a divide conquer situation. But you know, if we don't get back to someone, there better be a reason, right? And we need to let that patient know and let your team members know why you did not upheld the protocols. Yeah.
Well, and it's like everything else, right? Because if you leave everyone to their own devices of what a professional response time is, what does that mean? Right. For one person, that could mean that you're on chat, and we've had this happen, right? With a patient who's sitting in front of their computer, working, not working, and literally I'll see a stack of emails. They'll send 14 emails in an hour. So we're responding to one patient. Like, no, I'm sorry. This is not that. What is that? What are we trying to solve for here? And then we have the patient who the team assumes, and I'm in air quotes here, if we're not watching the video, assumes that there's going to be a confrontation with that patient. So they're going to let them sit there for 5 days. Do you think that that's going to help in that patient communication? No, it's not. And you don't even know that that's going to be a confrontation. So we're not leaving it to chance. No. This is what the guideline is. And this is what we follow. And the responses to that, again, just like we've talked about with our relationships with our doctors and our patients, it's the same with our team members. These are not your friends, okay? When our team members start texting emojis to patients, or they start texting acronyms to patients that I don't even know what all those acronyms mean, and I have to look up in the Urban Dictionary sometimes of like, what offensive comment did you just try to say? That's not professional, right? We need to make sure that we have a script for all of our responses. At the end of the day, from a patient standpoint, from a team standpoint, they're trying to get whatever their question or issue is resolved. Yes, you might have someone that you have to try to win over because they want a phone call for every situation. But if at the end of the day, they can have their billing question answered over email,
better.
They're satisfied with having their billing question answered over email. They don't need to have a half an hour phone call conversation.
Well, I think that's a perfect example, because I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but our first response to any billing question is never to answer it on the phone right off the bat.
Right.
100% of the time. So if it's a billing question, it goes to our front office and we say, let me take down all the information on someone to see what you're talking about. And we'll email you back as soon as possible, because I need time to research whatever's going on.
Right.
We're not ready to answer those billing questions right off the bat. There's no way. Right. We don't have those things memorized. Right. Anything we say, if the slight little bit is off, it's going to create a big upheaval a little bit sometimes with patients. Right. The money is tied to emotion a lot of times with people, especially when it's that unmet expectation.
Right.
But I really do believe that the first response after the call about the billing question being an email is so critical, because you can lay it out in numbers, type out exactly what's going on. You can attach a statement. You can attach a bill from a, you know, an invoice from an insurance company, whatever it is, or communication with an insurance company. You can attach whatever you want. It's right there for the patient, and not you explaining what it is and having someone try to understand it, right? They can read that email 50 million times and try to understand. Not have to have you repeat it over and over, let alone try to get them on the phone after you've already come up with the answer on the billing. So now, if there's a follow-up questions like that, we can by all means handle those over email as well. Sometimes those do turn into needing a phone call just to clear one thing up, and that's fine. But we don't want to answer that first question about the bill over the phone. And we're not prepared. Right. We're going to be scrambling. Why do it? Just look professional, be very courteous. Hey, I want to take down all information, make sure I have all this. I want to get this answered for you, but I need time to research it. And I think that was a big change for our front office, and how much stress they had around those billing question calls too.
Right. No, it takes a lot of pressure out of it, and it's just more efficient on both sides of things. And if you have someone who is, you know, they just received a bill in the mail, and they also received a tax bill, and they just had hours cut at work, and you happen to be the one that they're going to let all of that out on in that moment, there's nothing productive that's going to come, you know, from that conversation. And we also have to realize that things continue to change. You have to continue to evolve. And we've always said, we're never going to be the office that is beta testing for everything. We're not going to be on the bleeding edge of technology and using our patients as guinea pigs. But we also have to recognize that technology is here to stay, right? There was a time that, the internet was the devil, and that's never going to catch on. AOL, that's never going to catch on. Okay. You know, here we are. And, you know, that's just not where we are now. I mean, there's so many tools that you can use with technology, with AI, that it's not the devil. And either you're going to keep up with the technology, or it's going to run you over. And then all of a sudden you're playing catch up, which is much more difficult to do.
Yeah. And maybe the AI is a big one too, because I mean, we're heavily invested in AI in our practices, and we have a lot of different things, a lot of different companies that we have tied in that we're testing, whether it's x-rays or calls or texts or, you know, a lot of different stats and data, things like that. And it's absolutely here to stay. But the patient with the communications, they want to talk to a person. They want to get an email from a person. And then whether that's an AI person or another person, we're not quite there yet, but it's coming with the emails and the responses, things like that. But people want to know that they have a custom or a one person response. They have a communication, they have a dialogue, right? They're not being grouped into a mass of people, right? They're having the care given to them themselves, customized, right? The response is customized, and that's part of bedside manner, right? And you know, it's just really important to have that image about patients, and you can still do that, I argue, better over email, text, things like that, because of the cadence of how fast you can kind of communicate with people these days, especially, you know, in the day and age we are right now. You know, texts and email are by far more common than you know, in-person communication. There's no doubt about it. So it's just making sure that those texts and communications and then email communications, whatever they are very, very courteous or very, very, you know, helpful, and they're very timely is a big one.
Well, I mean, it also gets back to making the things easier on your team, to making the things that can be easy as possible on your team, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Generationally, things change, right? If you look at your team members right now, I don't want to assume, but I'll look at, you know, our team members, they 100% in their personal lives will default to texting than getting on the phone. Like I get, like they look at the phone like they're afraid that, like, I don't know how to have a phone conversation. Like they're going to say something, I don't know how to respond. But like, it's a panic situation, you know? So let's not fight it. How can we use that to our advantage? And the concept of AI is this big, scary, you know, the aliens are taking over the world. You're already using it, whether you realize it or not, right? When you ask Siri for a question for something that, you know, I go back to the Big Bang Theory episode where they're like, we want to find Siri. Siri isn't in an office somewhere, okay? You know, use it to your advantage. Autocorrect on your emails is technically AI, right? When you're doing spell check, that's AI. Grammarly, please, I implore you, if you don't have Grammarly on your emails, please do it now for your practices before the next email goes out to your patients. Writing an email in proper grammar, AI can do that for you. Do not rely on someone having an English degree to be able to do that for you.
Yeah. And if you want to be really scared, go back and search a lot of the emails you've had for the last 10 months that have gone out to patients and start rifling through those. That'll be a bad day. So, because I guarantee you the grammar is not what you think it should be. So, and I'm not saying all the time, but you're going to pick out a few things here and there. And that is the image that patient has of your practice. Any typo, even if they're just typing fast, whatever it is, if it's just a stupid little thing, but that is the image that patient has of your practice, and you want it to be as concise and as simple and as good as possible.
Yeah. If you've joined us for our sound off series, one of the sound offs that we have is internal for our team that says sentences need to start with a capital letter and they need to have a punctuation mark at the end of it. And you all will laugh. It happened enough that we had to make a protocol around it of how to write a proper email, friends. So don't take it for granted from a patient standpoint or from a team standpoint.
Yeah.
No, it's all little things. And I mean, jokes aside, people really do appreciate it. Both, you know, our patients knowing what to expect and our team members knowing what to expect and seeing the tools that they do have at their disposal to make this as easy as possible. You know, this is part of our patient care. This is part of, it's not just it through their appointment, it's the follow-ups that happen after their appointment, and making sure that we're following through on those things that come up.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, to be continued, as always, we will continue on our Toolbox Tuesday topics and talking about the things no one wants to talk about. If you want to learn more about some of our private client options that we have available, we're on all of the social platforms. You can also visit us on our website at pathwaydentalsolutions.com or email us at connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we will be happy to chat with you some more. So in the meantime, hope everybody has a great week, and we'll be back next Tuesday.
Bye.
Right, bye, care. Everybody.